Sports fans rejoice. You're listening to My Team, My Voice with MTMV Sports.
And now, the time fight fans all across the globe have been waiting for. It's the MTMV main card with your man, The Voice. As always, in the opposite corner, my mano y mano, my verbal sparring partner. Some call him the butcher. Some call him the baker. I call him the word up maker. None other than the bully of Broad Street. Iron, Wilders, Ruffin. What's going on, Ruff? What
you start with slander immediately, actually.
No, that is your intro, sir.
Well, does nobody call me them names of the two, sir?
Okay, well, somebody is me.
You know what? It's fine.
Some people is me. I'll be that.
I'm wearing my royal blue and my Drizin Petrovic jersey, you know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna rise above that. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna
act like a royal and I'm gonna just give you a lead in. Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy Wilders with the man, the myth, the legend. You see him with the shiny light on his head, but that's not a halo. It's the voice, the hitter extraordinaire, the flubber. Voice, how are you feeling today, good sir? Huh?
Ooh, I'm feeling much better than I have for quite some time today. I've been kind of nervous and overwhelmed by stuff, but I feel real good. The hater extraordinaire. Now that's a new one.
Hater extraordinaire. I'm gonna get you a t-shirt that says that because I feel like you need it.
Not Public Enemy number one, but hater number one.
You go.
I feel like there was a song called that, but anyway.
Anyway, we got some great things to get into today, but let's go ahead and get into our first segment of KOs and Low Blows. All right, No Voice. Now, we've been talking about mega fights for 2023 all year, and now I'm thinking we may have another one on the horizon. Both Devin Haney and Shakur Stevens have been talking. They've been talking on live. They've been talking all over the place. But it looks like we may end up getting that supreme fight that we've been wanting to see. Now, there's been talks of moving Lomachenko to the side. I don't know if this is possibly posturing just to get him to take the fight quicker. But what do you think about the possibility that we may get Haney versus Shakur in 2023?
I think that if that happens, that will be wonderful. Do I think that will be either fighter's next fight? No, I don't. At fight this weekend, I forget. Teofimo Lopez, when he was fighting Sandor Martin. Salute to Teofimo. Seeing the fight, I scored it for him. I thought that Martin thought a bit too much of his skills. It was always like, dude, you did not win that fight. I don't know why you're doing all that, but that's neither here nor there. At that fight, Bob Arum said that he was working to make the Loma and Haney fight. And I think that he is really trying to do it. You know, Haney is trying to make sure that everything is done before Ramadan as a devout Muslim who plans on fasting during Ramadan. You know, he doesn't want to fast and train. That just doesn't work out real well for you. So he's trying to get it done. Seems like things are dragging along, and I think that this is more to push the envelope and kind of spur Loma on to do something. Because really, when you look at it, now can Shakur move up to fight for the title immediately? Yes, you know, I mean, there's precedent there, but to fight for the undisputed title, I could see if it was just a WBO because he was WBO champion at 130, but to move up for all the belts, that seems a bit much. So I think he needs a fight, and I think we need to see Devin Haney fight Lomachenko. But here's the thing, this is probably Haney's last fight at 135. So if they don't, or I should say, if things happen the way that they're kind of scheduled to happen, then he's going to be looking like at another 3 years or so before they fight each other. Possibly. Oh, wow. I mean, anything is possible, but if you just remember what Haney looked like on the scales for his last fight with Kambosos, I mean, dude looked like Skeletor. It was like, he is not long for this weight class.
So, I mean, with all that being said, what's the worst case scenario that could happen in 2023 for both fighters?
Worst case scenario is that they both go up in weight and vie for titles. That's really the worst case scenario.
Wow. I'm definitely hoping to see that happen. It was funny seeing them both on live and talking, and Bill Haney made a comment. He said Shakur was the baddest man at 135 behind Haney. And Shakur said, nah, I'm the baddest 135, period. And Bill was like, hey, we here. So I definitely want to see that happen. 2023 feels like it's going to be shaping up to be great fights. You did mention Teofimo Lopez. I do want to mention that I just want to send love to the brother, man. Seeing him talk after the fight and kind of like ask himself publicly, like, do I still have it? Like that hurt. Like, just to see that happen. I know everybody talks about boxers and the ups and the downs, but to see that, I just hope he gains his confidence back and he comes back full-fledged, because that's a talented individual.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely is talented, and that is something that I think happens more often than we know. It's just not something that's captured on camera. That was creative shooting, for lack of better terms, by the camera team to not only have the camera on him, but to pick up the audio as well. Mm-hmm. Again, I think that's something that happens a lot, especially after a fight like that, because, you know, here it is. It's your second fight at 140. You're coming in. You're supposed to look good. This is supposed to put you in a position to fight for a title, and you have a for real fight on your hands. You know, some of that has to do with the fact that there was a last-minute opponent change. But that last-minute opponent change was actually a step up from who you were going to fight as well. So, I mean, there's a lot going into that. We already know about his struggles with mental health, and that very well may have played a role in it too. I don't know. You know, again, it was a very vulnerable moment. I'm glad we had it, but it definitely brings up all of these kinds of questions, and it begs to question whether or not he really does have it, because if he's making these kind of statements in the ring after being victorious, what's he going to look like going into the next fight?
Yeah, definitely scary. So I just want to send love to him and anybody who is struggling in that manner. Now, boy, let's go ahead and get into it. Dana White, he seems like he's constantly full of surprises. And this time, he's literally gifting the fans, I guess you could say, something special. He spoke on the vacant light heavyweight title bout and immediately made a bout that no one apparently knew about but Dana. Tell us more about that and your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so at the post-fight press conference, UFC 282, as is Dana's custom, he came and he, you know, talked about the gate and who won the bonuses and opened things up for questions. People ask, okay, what do we do, or what do you do now that the title is vacant? Because UFC 282 pit Jan Blachowicz versus Magomed Ankalaev. They fought to a draw, and they were fighting for the vacant title that was vacated by Jiří Procházka. You know, it's like, well, what do we do? You know, what do you do? It's like, what we do is Glover and Jamahal Hill in Brazil, which happens to be the next card. It was like, what, for the title? It was like, yeah. It's like, is that a done deal? And I believe it was John Morgan that was asking me questions. It's like, yeah, done. Like, wow. I mean, they just got done calling the fight, you know, and it's done. So Dana had to have this kind of in the bag, or I should say, as a backup, like, hey, you know, and he talked about the fight. He's like, oh, you know, it was boring. It was this, it was that. So who knows? He may have been on the phone making calls while the fight was going on and say, hey, look, if something happens, you know, you want to do this for the title, you know, or maybe they were even thinking maybe for an interim title. I don't know, because they'll do that at the drop of a hat. So, however, whatever, he may have actually just made it right there. And it's like, okay, look, I said it was going to happen, and then did the things necessary on the back end to make it happen. Either way it goes, this is what should have happened in the first place, and it really should have been Ankalaev versus Glover in Brazil. That's what Glover asked for when they were trying to get him to take the fight at UFC 282. He's like, look, if you want me to take the fight right now, I can do it against Jan. I cannot do that against Ankalaev because his style's a little different. Give me about a month and I'll be ready. They're like, nope, it's not, can't do it. And we talked about this last week on the main card. So they got a title fight and they turned around. They're going to put that same title on the line the next fight because that's what they do. This is what you can do when you run the show.
So I know in the main card, one thing we never do is predictions, but I have to ask you in this upcoming bout, who's the favorite here?
It would have to be Glover, even though he's the more aged of the two. Mm-hmm. He's also the more experienced of the two. He's the former champion. He has so much experience. I mean, even before that, this would be what, his like third or fourth title fight in the UFC. And before his first title fight, he had years of experience training with former champion Chuck Liddell. So from the experience standpoint and his grappling prowess, because he can bang, but he'll choke you out and snatch up a submission in a minute on the ground. That gives an edge to him. Well, where Hill is primarily a striker now. You know, it only takes one, as you so famously say. But with someone like Glover, who is as durable as he is, you know, he can get caught, and he gets caught, he goes to the ground. If he goes to the ground and he can grab you long enough, could be curves. And we saw, especially in that fight with Jiří, how he got just mollywopped all over the place and, you know, still able to keep things together until he couldn't, which is why we really wanted to see that fight again.
Definitely understandable. Well, that was a great, great, definitely KOs and low blows. So when we come back, we got a great show for you. It's not too many matches there to go about as we're wrapping up for the end of the year. But when we come back from this great message from our sponsor, Ozell, got some great fights for you. UFC, the Voices Marquee matchup is also coming up. And it was a knockout today that we're planning on talking about. So let's go through a moment for my sponsor. We'll be right back.
It's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication and commitment through the process and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals and peace in knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand, it's a lifestyle.
I love that commercial. Shout out to Will Smith for that amazing, amazing voiceover that he does.
You see, he want to give me the voiceover money. You know, when it comes to MTMV, I mean, my name is The Voice. So
I mean, you already got The Voice. You got to give somebody else some kind of shine. You know what I mean? I mean, we see you got the halo in your head every time you on screen. That's got to be enough. You can't have everything.
I don't want it all. I just want some. Little bit of voiceover love. That's all.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, let's go ahead and get into this because this is going to be a great main event. Now, in the last UFC main event of the year, two great fighters are literally looking to bounce back from major losses to the champion and former champion. So number seven ranked middleweight Sean Strickland and number three ranked Jared Cannonier is going to face off at UFC Vegas 66 on December 17th. Now, the fight is going to take place inside the UFC Apex Center in Las Vegas. Now, Strickland is coming into the fight showing respect, but basically stating what his game plan is going to be. He said, I'm going to stand out in the middle and on that big logo with my hands up. Now, there's some words that are missing, and I'm going to try and scrap and knock this man out. We'll see what happens, but I'm doing it for you guys. So while Strickland is coming off of a KO loss to Alex Pereira, Conor was also beaten by unanimous decision by then UFC middleweight champion, the Salvador in July of last year. So, boys, there's two gentlemen who are literally looking to bounce back from a loss that would have happened to anybody. These are two of the best fighters in UFC. Tell us what we're looking forward to, and tell us who needs this fight more.
What you have to look forward to is a spirited middleweight matchup between Sean Strickland and Jared Cannonier. Strickland is, you know, telling us everything that he's going to do, which he should. You're supposed to speak with a level of bravado and confidence, but kind of selling wolf tickets. talking about, we're going to stand there and bang and I'm going to knock him out. I mean, you knocked out somebody in 2020? And I mean, you got some ground and pound in 2018. But yeah, you don't win very many fights by way of knockout. Actually, it looks like about every 2 years. So you know what? Maybe he's a prophet. Maybe he knows, like, look, I knock somebody out every 2 years. It's about time for me to knock somebody out. So I'm going to knock out Jared Cannonier. So for that, I say, good on you, sir. Good on you. You know, they're both, as you stated, both coming in off of a loss. Who needs it more, though, is Jared Cannonier. I mean, Sean Strickland, he was making a play for the title, but he still was kind of on the fringes because, again, he doesn't stop people that often. And his style is more, you know, wrestling. You know, I'm going to hold you down. I'm going to hit you. You're going to get up, rinse and repeat. And that's not something that the UFC necessarily likes to reward, unless your pounding on the ground is just otherworldly, i.e. Khabib Nurmagomedov, where you're stopping people with your ground and pound, or it's just so dominant, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, it's making you cringe. That's not Sean Strickland. So he really does not have much to lose, whereas Cannonier has been, you know, teetering at the top for a while. He finally broke through and got his fight against Israel Adesanya, and this was coming off of different injuries and things of that nature, but he finally broke through and got it and kind of stunk the place up. Mm-hmm. You know, it was not nearly as competitive a fight as everyone thought that it would be. So he really has more to lose in that he comes out and loses again and loses in a uninspired fashion. Yeah, it could be over for him as far as titles are concerned. You know, can he still, you know, go out there and be a gatekeeper? You know, absolutely. But, you know, he definitely has more to lose than Sean Strickland does.
Wow. Okay. Well, man, it's definitely going to be a great fight. I know everything that I've seen about Jared, and even some of the media that he's spoken about coming up so far. He's been pretty humble, even in the media, and talking about that. And maybe it has a lot to do with everything that you stated. I mean, coming off a loss like that can be humbling, but it's not. I don't think it's one of those things where you should be ashamed about. I mean, you lost to the champion. At that point in time, I mean, you said he stuck up the place, but you still lost to the champion.
Yeah, I mean, but when you look at his career, mm-hmm. you know, he's only got a handful of losses. And since he has been at these lower weights, because we have to remember, he started off as a heavyweight. Right. He lost once as a heavyweight in the UFC. But then who does he lose to? Jan Błachowicz at 205. Former champion Dominic Reyes at 205, former title challenger Robert Whittaker, former title holder, and Israel Adesanya for the title. You know, so his losses have been to, especially, you know, over the past 5 years, they've been to the best of the best. To lose to Sean Strickland, that's setting you a way back.
Okay, well, we'll definitely see coming up. Boys, you know what it's time for. The Voices Marquee Matchup. Now, this week's Voices Marquee Matchup is going to pit two ranked lightweights against one another. This is going to be with a 19-fight win streak on the line in the co-main event of UFC Fight Night 216. So, boys, here's your thoughts on this and what we should be looking for here.
This is a wonderful fight between Armand Sarukian and Demir Ismagulov, a.k.a. Kaza. These fighters are absolutely phenomenal. Ismagulov has only lost once in his entire fighting career. And Sarukian, yeah, I mean, you know, he has a few more losses, but he's the only one to give a loss to the current champion in the Eagles' protege, none other than Islam Makhachev. So, you know, these guys are on a roll. And especially for Ismagulov, like I said, he only has one loss, and that was back in 2015. Since then, he has run off a crazy streak of nearly, if he wins on Saturday, it'll be 20 fights in a row that he has won. Now, granted, were they all in the UFC and or against UFC caliber fighters? Not necessarily, but it's still a laudable feat, and it'll be at least like five in the UFC, which says an awful lot. This man, being from Kazakhstan, which is why he calls himself Kaza, you know, in those Caucasus Mountains, they like to grapple. You know, whether it's bears or their brothers, they like to grapple. And he definitely does. That is his style. That is where he excels and even participates in grappling matches in between fights. And recently, at least since he's been in the UFC, he's gone 2-0-1 in his grappling matches. So look for him to try to get it to the ground and grind out a decision that way, because that's how Ismagulov does things. Where Sarukian, you know, also being from that area of the world, he has a much more well-rounded game. When we speak of his beating the champion, he did so by knocking him clean out. You know, so this is more of a grappler versus striker affair, even though he does have the ability to win on the ground. You know, he's got some ground and pound on his record as far as wins are concerned, as well as, you know, different submissions like rear naked chokes and things of that nature. So it's not that he can't get it done on the ground, but especially training at Tiger Muay Thai, his desire is to keep it on the feet and be victorious that way. And he really needs a win. Like I said, with being the only one to beat Islam Makhachev ever, he's right up there, or I should say his name, like Alex Pereira, you know, that name of I beat the champ, it makes you want to see them fight again. But you can't fight again when you just lost your last fight in June. Granted, it was to a standout in Mateus Gamrot, but still, you have to win in order to fight for the title, which is the reason that everyone in the UFC is there. And I'm sorry, I said that he beat Makhachev. He lost to Makhachev. So that is my my error in saying that. But they have fought before, excuse me, and it was a, you know, very close fight when they did fight. But either way that it goes, it's in order to get back to that level of fight, then you've got to come with it. You've got to beat the man. And this is a fight that people really, really want to see again, including myself. But to get there, he's got to get past the person in front of him, which is Kazakh. What will happen? We won't know till the pin drops, the cage door locks, the thumbs go up, and they start the clock. But it should be a quintessential, or I should say, yeah, quintessential grappler versus striker kind of matchup. And it looks like my man Wildress has unfortunately left the building. He's got getting his Elvis on. But he just came back in just in time for us to go into.
I was listening the whole time. I don't know why. It just moved me out of the studio. And I was like, I can hear you, but I couldn't see you. So.
Yeah. Wildress has left the building. But that's all right. He came back.
But UFC Vegas is definitely going to be a great card. Definitely make sure that you tune into that. That's going to be Saturday, December 17th. Voice, let's get into it. And normally we always provide you with matches that are upcoming. Today we're going to provide you a recap that, I got to say it, Voice, it was downright disrespectful when I saw the highlights from it. So I like to think of this as, there's the Kings of Comedy. There's Cedric, there was Bernie, there's Steve, and there's DL. Well, now you have the undefeated Kings, and that's Devin Haney.
The undisputed Kings, yeah.
What did I say? Undefeated? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're not all undefeated. We definitely know that. The undisputed Kings with Devin Haney, Canelo Charlo, and you can now add to that list, in a way, the Monster. Now, in about so great, it was billed as undisputed. As the WBA, WBC, IBF, WBO, and the Ring Bantamweight titles were on the line as the undefeated Monster faced off against Paul Butler live from the Araki Arena in Tokyo, Japan. Now, if you got a chance to see the highlights, the bout was dominated by the Monster, who even showed off some showboating a la Roy Jones before scoring the knockout. Now, the Monster remains undefeated and is currently, by many, arguably the best pound-for-pound fighter out there. Well, so I wanted to get your take on that bout, what you thought, and where does the Monster go from here?
In watching that bout, Tim Bradley said it best. It was a sparring match. It was a sparring match. And not a very competitive sparring match either. Much of that lies on the shoulders of Paul Butler. Remember the name, because this is like the first and last time you ever hear it. But he got in there and he was extremely defensive. I fought his corner to a point as well, because when you're watching fights in Japan, the fight population there, or I should say the fight fan population there, is very educated and they're very respectful. When the fight's going on, you really don't hear much from them, which allows you to hear the corners very well. I very rarely heard Paul Butler's corner say anything. The only time I heard them say anything was keep it tight. Well, he had been keeping it tight the whole time. I mean, his fists were like Velcro to his head. All he was doing was being defensive. I mean, he would faint, but he would not throw. And I get it, because when he opened up in the 10th round and started trying to throw more, he kept getting caught. At that point, though, it was an exhibition. The Monster in round 7 was just like, forget it. He started walking around with his hands at his side, did the Roy Jones chicken thing, putting his hands behind his back. You know, he was doing whatever he could to get Butler to engage in the fight. And he really, for the most part, refused to, in a way, turned up the heat in round 10. And then in round 11, he just put his foot on the gas and just kept coming forward, found a way to break down. And I think really at that point, Butler was so tired of holding his arms up and trying to block everything that he just could not put the kind of defense up necessary to keep, in a way, shots from getting through, because in a way had been throwing those shots and they hadn't been hitting Butler clean, but they were still catching him. And I just think he could not give any more. And you saw him getting up and he was just shaking his head. And to me, it seemed like he was kind of giving up when the ref called it off. He laid on his back and he pulled his belt down. Now, which is understandable, because he was getting killed with them body shots. Oh, man. Those left hooks to the liver were terrible, and the combination that was used by Inoue to put him out, he just overwhelmed him. He couldn't do anything but go down. But his his goal really looked like that he was in there to say, I went 12 rounds with Inoue. He didn't even get that done.
It's unfortunate, because even reading up to this point on the bout between the two, everyone literally made Paul Butler an afterthought. ESPN even said in their article that Paul Butler had just been holding the belts for Inoue up until this point. It really did not seem like he gave much of a fight to it. And I do agree with you. It seemed like Inoue was really just kind of looking to kind of goad him out and just get him to do something by putting his hands down on a consistent basis. Inoue looked powerful. I understand that, like you said, it's Paul Butler, but he looked powerful. Who would you want to see him face next?
I don't know who he would face next, honestly. But really, what I'll say is this, especially with being, I want to say that Butler may have been an undefeated champion. Whether he was undefeated or not, he was definitely champion coming in. And to utterly decimate a fighter of his caliber shows really how good Inoue is. He's on a different kind of level. And I mean, really, he's beat about everybody. Well, I mean, he has beat everybody out there at 118. Do you move up to 122? I don't know. Do you try to drop down to 116 to, maybe get some of those 112ers to come up to 116 to fight you? I don't know. Is there somebody at 116, that he can fight? I mean, there are definitely, champions out there. You got fellow countrymen in Kazuto Ioka, Fernando Martinez, Josh Franco, and the WBC belt is vacant at 115. But yeah, that's 3 rounds is quite a bit to try to drop. Whereas if he goes up, ooh man, that would be very, very interesting. Did you know who's at 122? Somebody that? You know and love.
Who's that?
And that I talk about. It's the man who's not old enough to be living in the past, but is living in the past with a ducktail. Cool boy Steph Stephen Fulton. And I say that with all respect. He is a phenomenal fighter, and he has to be a phenomenal fighter to be able to wear a ducktail in 2022.
Why you had to bring up the ducktail? That just seems like it's bullying.
It's not bullying. It does the man not have a ducktail?
Yes, he does have a ducktail.
Okay, I'm just speaking the truth. And this is what I'll say about people with ducktails.
I'm ringing the bell on that one.
Well, I'm throwing some blows after the bell. Every man that I know that has a ducktail at this time frame, they can fight. They can fight. And you have to.
You ain't got no choice but to be able to fight if you walk around with a ducktail. Listen.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So he said, look, I'm going to make sure y'all know I'm a fighter.
You know what, voice? You just slide him in there. My aunt thinks you're just the nicest person ever, but everybody know no voice. Voice be out here just slandering people on a daily basis, but it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our card show for today for you. I can't even get those words out. That's our show for you today. Thank you for tuning in. It's been another amazing show. MTMV Sports, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Look, we are you. We're fans. We're individuals who love the sports that we speak about. We have some amazing shows. You can get anything that you're looking for from our network, so make sure you tune in. Also, check the website. Grab some merch. Read an article. We got some amazing individuals who love to share their love of sports with you. You see Voices t-shirt out there. The Halo's back. There you go. it's been an amazing show. Voice, give us your words and take us out, sir.
Hey, just a reminder, everyone, we will be off next week because there's really nothing to cover. We'll be back the following week to talk about the Bellator Rising card on New Year's Eve. Until next time, fight the good fight.
Keep it locked right here. You are listening to MTMV Sports.